Welcome back for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, starring your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today we're going to be talking about trials and tribulations. So we've been talking about a lot of dandelions and sunflowers recently, but today we're going to get into real stuff. We're going to start getting into, you know, the things we don't want to talk about, but the things that need to be talked about to be able to overcome them. And I'm going to be open up in Romans chapter 7, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. And then I'm going to fast forward to 25. It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So pretty much what that's saying is when you become new in Christ, you know, we're gonna start beginning to feel and think differently, but it's not going to be an instant transformation. We're still going to be falling into the sin and the same sin that our flesh has built those patterns on. And ultimately, sin is what separates us from God. And all the trials and tribulation mankind has went through has been due to sin and being separated from God. When Adam and Eve were in the garden in perfect connection with the creator of the universe, they lived in perfect harmony. And it was until they were decepted into falling into sin that they were then separated from God and ran away and fell into shame and trying to create new ways to make them, you know, feel better, which is ultimately what religion is. So trials and tribulations are going to be inevitable, especially when you accept the birthmark of Jesus Christ on you. You're going to be accepting the target of the enemy. You're no longer sitting in the dark. You're no longer fell into this hopeless place. You've now seen the light and you know what is right. So now you're going to begin to find others and you're going to begin to pursue the kingdom of God. And with that happening, you know, we're going to have our highs and we're going to have our lows. But through our lows, knowing that God is good and that he's going to bring you back through it, that's where the faith is found.
It's interesting, and I think it's good that you brought up Adam and Eve, because if you think about it, it's through their sin that they now have to go through all these trials and tribulations. They have to go through the suffering. If you remember correctly, after this, you know, and after they lied, because they didn't just eat from the tree of knowledge, but they also lied to God, and they continued to put blame on somebody else without taking the blame onto themselves. And for that, God said, you know, Adam, you're not going to be, you know, bruised from head to heel. And Eve, you're going to have to suffer through childbirth, you know, but at the end of the day, what comes after childbirth, right? She goes through all of this pain and suffering. A woman goes through all of this pain and suffering for a blessing that we know is life. We're, you know, bringing a child into this world, which we know is the most innocent mind, but you have to go through that suffering first to understand what that blessing can be, what it can turn into.
Yeah, that was fire. That was fire. Like from suffering comes life, and then like from life comes suffering.
Yes.
And it's like this thing, and it's this, you know, but that's like the beauty in it. It's like when we get to heaven, if we lived on earth with no suffering, we would get to heaven and be like,
just the same.
It's the same. You know what I mean?
If we literally had heaven on earth and then we died and then went to heaven, well, then how could we appreciate what heaven is?
Right.
You know, you can't have highs without lows. At the end of the day, if you didn't have lows, then you'd just be sitting flat all the time, which sounds great until you realize you can't appreciate the highs when they're there. It's like if you're getting drunk every single night, eventually you lose the appreciation of the drunk and you're just doing it out of habit.
Exactly. But like you said, when you're trusting in God's plan, you're able to go through your trials and tribulation with a joy, knowing that there's light on the other side of that. And through that, the Bible says that you're going to build character. And because you're building character, you're going to build endurance. And when you build endurance, you know, the next tribulation of that same aspect is not going to be as bad. And you're going to start to build yourself up in that way. Have you ever noticed who has the most anxiety? Young people. And yeah. You know, have you ever noticed, like, you don't really meet old people with anxiety? It's because they've already endured it. They've already been through, and you know, the ones that didn't aren't here. And so it's through that they built character and they built endurance. And to know that is to be grateful for that, because like the smooth sea never made the skilled sailor. You know, the the boring, perfect life never built the strong, character-minded man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so, like, through your trials, you're able to know that there's going to be good out of it. And then also through your blessings, you're going to know that there's going to be times that come that aren't going to be as high and holy as this moment. So you're able to appreciate that moment. Because like we were saying, we talked about it before in Matthew 4, right after Jesus was baptized, he was then tempted by the devil. And Jesus didn't go into trials and tribulation in that moment. Mentally, it probably was, even though he knew the truth. But it would have been at the moment that he chose to sin is when the trials and tribulations would have began. Yeah. And so that's, I mean, it's ultimately down to sin. And sin, like, by separating us from God, we're choosing our own will, going our own path, and he lets you walk that path as long as you want to. That's the kind of the funny thing about God. He lets you go as far down into the pig slop as you want to, but no matter how far you go, he's not any more distance from you. He's still right behind you the whole entire time.
Something that Nick likes to say is, you know, God is literally one breath away. A great analogy he's used in the past, and I'm going to steal it here, is Yahweh is a lot like breathing. You take away the vowels out of Yahweh, you get literally breath, a Y and an H sound, a Y, W, and H sound. It's literally like breathing in. You go just like that. So God is literally one breath away. No matter, like Nick said, no matter how far you get away, no matter how, you know, down in the pig slop you get, no matter, you know, the darkest hole you can be down, God is one breath away. He's one prayer away. And that's something to remember. And something too, as Nick had said, old people don't have anxiety because they've built the endurance. They've already gone through those things. And something that I think old people realize is, or older people realize, people who have experience in life, is the fact of the matter that it's going to pass. Nothing is going to hurt them permanently. So, and it tells us in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord." So, at the end of the day, by putting your faith in God, nothing can hurt you. Nothing will stand against you to test the time. If you say, "Lord, take it out. I'm putting it in your hands," the Lord will take it from you.
And then, like, if you're living on the world's happiness, that's instantly shattered by being cut off in traffic, and then you're down into the darkness mentally with no way out other than time. But he offers us the bleeding hand immediately, and he'll pull you straight out of it at any moment. And that's the joy. Remember the difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is shattered and gone. You got to wait till it comes back. Joy, you ask for it and it's back. It's deeply rooted in the bottom of your heart. Can't be something taken away and only comes back. And then one thing also to remember is a lot of the books in the Bible were written from prison. And, you know, the book of Ephesians specifically was written from prison. And these are in moments of, you know, total darkness and captivation by their enemies. You know, these weren't, you know, they weren't jailed by the government. They were jailed by people that hated them and want their heads on sticks. And they would be spitting on by the prison guards and made fun of. But they still held joy. And in the book of Ephesians, that whole entire book is about withstanding the attacks of the enemy. And the attacks of the enemy is ultimately what leads to these deep, depression and anxiety and these deeper levels of bad thoughts. But even in prison, you know, was still able to say, you know, I know the truth and I know what God has for me. And I know what the enemy has for me. And I know that God is overpowering. And as long as I'm keeping my eyes focused on him. And that's the one thing too, is like the things that happen in our life, it's hard for us to realize and hard for a lot of people to understand, but it's not flesh and blood type ordeals. This is all spiritual warfare that's happening all around us. And it's something that impacts everyday life and impacts every situation. But, the Bible says that's not something we're supposed to be focused on. We're not supposed to be focused on, the enemies and the demons and darkness. We're supposed to be focused on the light. We're supposed to be focused on what we know to be true. we're supposed to be focused on the one word, tetelestai, which translates to it is finished. It's already been won. You know, we keep our eyes focused on him and we're going to persevere. So when you're going through these moments and you're going through these seasons of darkness and hard times, but you know the truth, like, you have to give thanks. Like, recently I've been going through a lot of, you know, just mental battles, you know, going through my, just being alone and running a business and doing a lot of other things. It's just felt draining on me. But as I know the truth, and I know that he's given me this to build my character, and I know he's given me this to build my endurance, I have nothing else to do other than to give thanks. So one day when I meet my wife, I'm going to say, you know what? I remember that time when I was alone and I felt like there was no one out there for me. And I'm going to be able to appreciate that. And then, like, the, you know, just vice versa. He does these things for our own benefit. And it's super hard to see that in the micro. So sometimes you just got to zoom out and see it from God's perspective.
Yeah. I mean, and God gives us, God takes things out of our lives so that way we can appreciate things later. As Nick had said, you know, appreciate the time of being alone. So that way, when you find your wife, you find that person, you know, you're going to marry, there was an appreciation there. I mean, I went, anybody that knows me, I went 22 years of my life without meeting a single girl that I've ever dated or cared to date, or, you know, you would say as wife material. So by now finding that person, you're like, oh, this is why I didn't go, you know, I didn't date 50 women before this, because my whole perception would have been changed. It would have been completely different. I wouldn't have had an appreciation for what this person is. You know, if you're somebody who's like me, I love food. You know, at the end of the day, if God had taken food out of my life, I would have appreciated what, you know, having bad food in my life has made me appreciate what good food is. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're constantly just eating, your perception of, you know, good spaghetti and bad spaghetti is, you know, Olive Garden versus, you know, we have a place here in town called Maggiano's is the, I mean, top dog for Italian food, in my opinion. Those are two different comparisons. Olive Garden is not good spaghetti.
Right.
But you know what good spaghetti is now.
Yeah. I did a
bad analogy, but
no, absolutely not. I say this watchfully, but I did a fast, and it was a 3-day fast. It was a while back. And then as I was breaking it, I had one thing on my mind, you know, and it was the food. What am I going to eat first? Right.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to Golden Corral the day after I finished it. And Golden Corral, my whole life, my parents never let me go there. We went there a couple times, but they were always like, they just thought it was, you know, kind of nasty. Everybody's touching the food and stuff like that. They were always weird about buffets. But I went, and it was literally like, oh my gosh, I ate till I dropped. And it was like, you know, on back to what we're saying is like, so I went through 3 days of complete suffering, right? Like almost torture. I was down bad. But then on the other side, once the, you know, the blessing had come through, it was like, I still remember to this day being like, this is the best food I've ever had. Like, yeah. This is the best. I remember looking at my friend and be like, dude, this is the best food I've ever had. He's like, dude, it's Golden Corral. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just the best.
It hits different.
Yeah, exactly. It just through that, that's where the appreciation comes from.
Sure. I mean, there's been, I don't know how many times I've heard in my life as a picky eater, well, if you were hungry, you would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're truly hungry, you would eat it. And that is the truth. And truthfully, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't like rice, but I think if I had went, you know, the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. If I had went 40 days and 40 nights, rice might actually sound pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, it might actually taste good. But it's by suffering through those things and by taking those things out of your life that you can truly appreciate it. If you took, you know, for a lot of us are addicted to our phones. If we took and threw our phones out for 40 days, man, when you finally get back on, you're scrolling through TikTok, all of the great things that you missed out on, you're going to have a new appreciation for that. Or by throwing it out for 40 days, you realize you don't need it. And the appreciation you have for, you know, for physical contact is going to be exponentially greater. Mm-hmm. And I think that, truthfully, is better than any TikTok I can watch, any YouTube video I can see, any whatever content I might be on my phone, whatever text message I can actually receive. Having that physical contact is by far way more amazing, and it's better, and it's actually God created versus man created, right? The flesh of the sin versus you know, putting our our power and our spirit into the Lord. That is God created. A person is God created by having that physical contact, by verbally speaking to somebody, by slapping hands with somebody. I like to do jiu-jitsu, by, you know, having that, you know, rolling with somebody and having that, you know, sportsmanship with another person. That is more amazing than any TikTok video you can ever watch.
Absolutely. And then speaking of trials and tribulations, we were just talking about this right before. I'm wrapping up the New Testament right now, so I haven't actually read the book myself, but growing up in Sunday school, you know, I know the story of Job and the book of Job. If you have a hard time understanding how, you know, the highs come on the other side of the lows, that's a good book to read. Job, Job was a man, you know, completely blessed with everything that he could ever need and had everything taken away from him. And through it all, he knew that God had a plan for him and is staying strong on his faith, and continued to be guided by the Spirit and was led into a more fulfilling life in the end of it. And what he just said about not having your phone, you know, you can come back and be like, oh, look at all these things I missed. Or you can be like, I didn't need that. And, you know, that was the same thing. That's what happened to Job. You know, there was a lot of stuff taken away from him that used to be idols in his life. And through the suffering of being like, you know, why is this being lost? In the end of it, he realized that was God's will to be taken out. And this was all for me to be able to come closer to him. And then one thing my pastor was talking about recently that I thought was pretty intense. He says, the one prayer I pray for you is that God would either make you or break you, whatever brings you closest to him. And, you know, that's a super deep thought. Like, I was telling him, I'm like, so if God blew my business up right now to where I had more business and money than I can deal with, how would that impact my spiritual life? And it could be good and it could be bad. But if he took away everything from me right now, if he took away my business, my house, my truck, what would I be left with? And I would have no other option other than to lean on to him. But on the other hand, you know, he could bless me with all these different things that I could use to be able to further the kingdom and, you know, be able to help other people. But he knows that, you know, you're not mentally ready. And it's so beautiful because it's like when you're a kid and, you know, your mom's like, oh, you can't do this till you're that age. You know what I mean? And as a kid, you're like, oh, let me do it now. And she's like, no, trust me. Like, just wait. You're going to have to wait. That's how God is with us. We're like, God, bless me right now. And he's like, nah, you don't. I'm telling you, just you're going to have to wait. And we're just like, oh, it's never going to happen. And then we stop praying for it. Stop asking for it. Keep asking. Keep praying. And then also keep praying and asking to be, you know, to be humbled and to be, you know, built into the man that's needed to be in that situation. Because like I said earlier, a lot of the character needed to be in those kind of situations they come from the trials and tribulations of the past. So through that, we're able to see the beauty in the highs and the lows.
You know, something I go to God and pray about every day is to allow me to continue to go forward in my life and to build myself. So that way I can one day have a family. You know, right now I don't have that. I'm going through these trials right now, and I'm going through this building process with the Lord. The Lord is my Father, molding me and creating me into a person that can one day host a family, that can one day mold my children so I could be a father to them, so that way they can recognize God as another father figure for them, to mold them and to create them and to continue their life forwards, and they can continue that process. Without these trials now, if I just went out and had a kid, I wouldn't know the first thing that I would do, you know? And it's kind of a scary thing when you think about having children of, well, what am I going to do? Go to the book, go to the Bible and read it and truly understand it and look into it and be like, what does this say about being a good dad? What does this say about being a leader of the household? What does this say, you know, as a man, being a leader of a household and being able to mold these children into good people? The Lord can help with that. But I think the Lord also has a plan for everybody. And he's going to say, well, you're not ready for children right now, and I'm going to make sure that there are going to be things in your way to keep you from having children, right? And it says here in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So God knows what he's going to do for you, but he's going to do it in his time, and he's not going to let you know. Because if you know that in a month from now this is going to happen, then you're just not going to care. You're like, oh, well, I was expecting that to happen, right? That's like knowing what your Christmas gift is going to be. It ruins the whole surprise. You open it up, you're like, oh, the thing I knew I was going to get.
Yeah.
It's no fun. It takes all of the surprise out of it. You have zero appreciation for what's, you know, actually at the end. All of that waiting was for nothing because, well, you knew what you're going to get.
I think, like, going back to the kid analogy that you're using, like, God knows you're not prepared enough to be a child or, like, to be a father, so he waits. But that can also be used on the opposite. Like, there is young people that get pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times, the kid, the baby, will be what saves the parents and father from furthering down these dark paths. Because now they're no longer a womanizing man. He's now a father.
Yeah.
And now he's got to pick up his girded loins and be like, okay, I got stuff to do. I got a man to be. And it's weird.
Kids to feed.
Exactly. Like, he works differently in everybody. And so that's why you can't always look at your situation and be like, oh, well, he's got this going on, because you don't know what God has in plan for you. You know what I mean? And like the issue is that the world, it gets everybody's idea, ideas of everything in this worldly view. Like we're supposed to, like a good analogy is like when they're laying concrete for a driveway, they build, you know, exactly how the driveway is supposed to look with the sidewalk going up to the front door. And that's how the world says that we should be living. That's how the world says we should view money. That's how the world says we should view sex and religion and people and all this. But God has a completely different way for us to be building our minds on. And it's so hard because, you know, what we know right now is what we've been taught. And how we think right now is what we've been taught. And yes, you've been taught by your mother and your family and your school, but I'm willing to bet you've been taught more from TikTok. You've been taught more from, you know, friends on the school bus, taught more from your neighbors and just people you hang out with and aren't always the best influence. And that's now what your mind has created, this format of how you should be thinking.
Yep.
And the Christ says that you're supposed to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And what that renewal of your mind is realizing this format is completely off. I'm not pouring my concrete mold into this. And then that's being able to rebuild it. But I mean, it's just crazy. It's realizing that everything you read in this book, and they are words and they are stories. But when you read it, they light up in your life. I'm telling you, like, I read the Bible like a couple years ago, and I almost didn't understand it. But as I read it now, even if it's something completely seemingly not related to me, it always applies to my life. And it's literally our tutorial. But you know, he's such a good God, and like he just said, he always has in mind what is best for us, and he always plans peace and prosperity for us. You know, he never wishes bad upon us. So if you're walking in the Spirit and you're taking those steps to get closer to God, there's no route other than up. You know what I mean? And it might not be up as in financially up, you know, but it might be up as in love, because ultimately, like, love is, there's no monetary value on that.
No.
Like, if you're in love with someone to the point that you're like, I don't care if we have money, I would rather be in this cardboard box with you because I love you, sugar butt. You know what I mean? Like, if you're like that, what could make you more poor?
Exactly. There's nothing.
There's nothing. It's like, literally, love is the value in everything. And so, and he loves us so much that he sent his perfect son to die for us. And he loves us so much that even when we turn around and, you know, spit in his face pretty much, he still is like, it's okay. You know what I mean? I love you. Yeah. I forgive you. And think about that. Like, that is overbearing. And you know what I mean? That joy that he has in his heart is now instilled into you. And now we're called to love others. And a lot of times you realize the hardest part is loving yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Me specifically, like, I feel like I can love on people. A lot of times people I shouldn't be loving on. But when I look in the mirror, and like, that's where I get, that's where it gets the worst at. That's when I'm like, man, who is this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you can't love yourself, how can you love other people?
Right.
And I think the Lord, I honestly, turning to the Lord to say, Lord, what is truly wrong for me, right? We can look in the mirror and say, I don't like the way my nose looks. I don't like the way my chin is. I don't like, you know, the fact that I weigh, you know, 270 pounds. That could be, but number one, that's something you can change. But I think you can look in the mirror and say, you know what? God made a perfect person in their heart. He made a perfect person in his image. No matter how my nose looks, no matter how big my ears are, no matter, you know, how my chin looks, you know, maybe my fingers aren't as long as I wish they'd be. At the end of the day, God made you in his image. He made you as perfect as he wanted you to be. So you have to take that appreciation and understand that God loves you just exactly how you are. You know, God cares more about the fact that you went out and you said, hey, have you heard about Jesus today? More than he cares about the fact that your feet are a size smaller than you wish they'd be. He cares more about the fact that you went out and you say, hey, God loves you, more than the fact that you're 5'5 and you wish you were 6 foot. That's just, God cares more about your spiritual attributes more than he cares about your physical attributes.
Yep, and he also cares about that love above all. Like, he, that's ultimately what he's... In the stories of the Bible, he didn't base their righteousness on how well they've done or how much good they have done or how much bad they have not done. He based it based upon their heart. And he said King David was a man of his own heart, even after persecuting people and being a relentless sinner. And I mean, kind of like what he was saying is he cares more about the fact that you're sharing the gospel with this lost person than, you know, you dropping one cuss word in it. Because ultimately that's what people are going to see it from, because that's how the world has viewed its idea of, like, judgment. Like, we want to judge people on based on small imperfections like this. But ultimately the will of that man's heart is that he wants you to know the truth and he wants you to know love. Okay, he may have slipped up and said a, you know, a little bad word, but what is his heart doing, and what is your heart doing? His heart is trying to tell you how you can seek joy. Your heart is laying judgment on someone.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's the appreciation of, it's the absence of love that creates, the absence of love that makes you appreciate what true love is, right? When you live without the Lord, you're living without his love, right? By living in the darkest of times, right? Maybe you're a crack addict, you know, on the corner, completely broke, living in a shoebox, and without Lord, without the Lord there, there's nothing there. You have nothing. You're completely empty. But by turning yourself over to the Lord, right? Maybe you turn your life around. Maybe you gave up drugs. But by having the Lord in your life, you have love in your life, and you have joy in your life. You have more than any person with a mansion, any more than person with the nicest cars, any person with a million women around them, a person with $1 million in their bank, you have more than any of them simply by turning to the Lord and saying, I put this in your hands.
And one thing I just want to leave you guys off with as we close out this episode is, when you think of a situation and you think of a time where you've just been going through the incomprehensible and things you just can't really understand how it's going to be good for you, always remember, no matter what you lose, or if you lose everything, if you gain the Lord, or if you gained one step closer to him, you gained everything. Because ultimately, it's part of his plan, and by coming closer to him, it's, you're only coming closer to the freedom that he has set out for you. So remember to keep your eyes focused on God, and remember to keep that mind renewed, and not renewed by TikTok, but by the good word. Thank you guys for tuning in on another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous.
Thank you guys. We really appreciate you.